I realize this is an 18-minute preacher, and I realized that you can have friendships in the world. You don't necessarily have to be a friend of the world, but you can have friendships in the world. I thought once I healed my mind, my heart of wanting to be friends with the world. I thought once I rid myself of the ideal of being popular around amongst the world. Once I rid myself of the need to be special in the eyes of the world. See, many of you want to be special in the eyes of the world. Some of you want to sing and dance and be special in the eyes of the world. Some of you want to be actors and this and lawyers and doctors and so forth and so on and down the line. Drug dealers and pick another one. But the goal is to be accepted in some realm and some arena in the world, in some activity. You play sports, even if it's on a local team. You want to be part of something, and I understand that, see. The need to, I'm on the fence about this, need for human contact. I believe human beings need contact, but a born-again believer needs the right kind of contact with other human beings, see. You need contact with those that love your God like you. You need contact with those that's going after your God like you. No wonder you feel out of place. You among people that's not traveling towards your Lord, see. We talk about the signs and the wonders and these things that point towards the coming of our Lord. But we need to include in that. We need to include in that those so-called believers that are walking towards the Lord and those that are walking away. And those that are maybe stuck in the mud. I got cures for all of that. For those of you that are stuck in the mud, I got a cure for you. Those of you that's trapped among thorns and thistles, I got a cure for you. I'll come through with my hedge clippers and cut you out, cut you free from the thorny bush. Many of you are trapped in the thorny bush, the thorny bushes of your bitterness, the thorny bushes of your unforgiveness, your unwillingness to move. Somebody told you the thorns were shade for you. Somebody told you that the pricks was for your benefit. You don't understand. You in the wrong house. You in the wrong place. You among the wrong people. You in the wrong atmosphere. As the young people say, the energy isn't right. Energy isn't right around you. See, I enjoy the energy of others. But then I realized something. All the energy I was bringing was mine. All the energy that was existing was my energy. All of the life, all of the force, all of the power going forward was coming from me, and that I was being in many ways drained. Bled out. You know, a relationship will bleed you out. A man will bleed you out. A woman will bleed you out. They'll cause all sorts of cuts, small cuts in your body, small cuts in your mind, small cuts in your heart, in your spirit, and you'll find out that you're being bled out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, these people will bleed you out. They'll give you just enough blood, breadcrumbs to keep you alive so they can keep bleeding you. I learned something real quick and real soon as people will feed you a little something to keep you a little bit interested. They'll feed you a little something to keep you a little bit going after them. They'll feed you something that will give you a little hope. They'll feed you something that will make you feel like they really invested in you. They'll give you a little breadcrumb here, a little morsel there, and you'll be like, well, there's hope. Where there's something. See, they did this, and see, they did that. They must care a little bit more than I really in my heart believe they do. Something must be there more. Something must be there more. Something must be there more. So let me wait it out longer. Then another year go by and they still haven't moved off that rock that they're stuck under. It's another year gone by. They still haven't moved off the bitterness and the thorny places in their heart. Another year go by. And you begin to realize that maybe they don't belong to your, maybe they don't belong to your God anyway. But these are people that are surrounding your life. People you're trying to invest time in. You're trying to invest healing in. See, that's the problem sometimes with the born-again believer. We want to be in service to God. We want to be in service to our Lord. And we know that the Lord has healing in his nature, healing in his power, healing in his purpose, healing in his vision. But I had to learn something. See, that's God's job to heal somebody, not mine. See, I can't bring them to myself to healing. If they won't go to Christ for healing, don't bring them to yourself. In the name of Jesus, you'll be consistently martyring your life. You'll be consistently hanging on the cross. See, you know, people love to see Jesus hanging on the cross. See, there's whole religions that the only time they really show him is when he's dead, when he's laying in his mama's lap, when he's dying on the cross. They never show a victorious Jesus. They never show a very rarely a triumphant Christ handling his business. They show him depleted. They show him dependent. You know, see, I was dependent on somebody else to recognize my special gifts in God for so long. I wanted someone to recognize that I was a man that was going after Christ for so long. They became the object in many ways of the approval I needed. And the Lord opened my eyes. You see, if you ask the Lord to open your eyes, he will open your eyes and he will show you some truth. And he'll also show you and tell you that if you stay in your situation that you're in, you're going to die in it. And the death will not only reign in your life, but those around you will die also, because they'll be particularly involved in the death spiral itself, sinking and pulling them down in you and with you. Being a codependent personality. See, many born-again believers suffer from codependent personality disorder. You want to please God so much that you end up trying to please people. And it corrupts your faith. Corrupts your vision. Corrupts your life. Make you feel as if things are gonna get better by and by. Then you make the mistakes of trying to apply scripture to your foolishness. Try to validate what you wanna do with scriptures Hallelujah. You're trying to be great in God's eyes by saving others, but I realize you can't save anybody. You can't rescue a person. You can throw a lifeline out to them, and if they don't want to climb up on the boat, you got to leave them sinking. You got to leave them almost drowning. You got to leave them gasping for air. And perhaps maybe the Lord will reach his hand down and grab them. He did it for me, see, in the name of Jesus. He showed me myself, and it set me free. He showed me myself. I said, whoa, who is that person? Because that person is not what I envisioned myself to be. In the name of Jesus, that person that the Lord showed me is not who I thought I was. See, I was living in my own fool's paradise. Living in my own fool's paradise. It's a strange thing to live in the hope of something. Because living in the hope of something oftentimes requires that you have to examine the hope by which you are choosing to. Are you really standing up for a good cause? The word says don't stand up for a bad cause. Many of you are standing up for bad causes. Many of you are standing up for bad marriages. Many of you are standing up for bad children. Many of you are standing up for the bad things in your heart. What I'm trying to say, you got to cut off these friendships with the world. And not only just the spirit of the world itself, but you have to cut off not only the spirit of the world itself, but the friendships that are attached to that world. See, I didn't realize, like I know now, that the world has agents that keep you connected to it. Hallelujah. See, the world has agents that will keep you connected to the world. See, you think you out of the world because your heart ain't yearning for it, but you don't realize that person you talking to, person you laying with, person you eating with is an agent of the world and not a they're not interested in your God like that. They're not interested in your Lord like that. They don't want to get their fanny pack ready to go meet Christ. That's not their goal, see. You trying to shed weight. You trying to shed weight of your life so you can travel light to go meet your God, see. You want to shed weight in your life so you can go forward and meet your God, see. They don't want to do that. In fact, they want you to carry some of their weight. They want to take on more weight and dump the weight they can't carry no more on you. So you become a mule. You like a drug mule for rebellion. You like a drug mule for the sin in someone else's life. Don't you have your own sin to get rid of? Don't you have your own sin to abolish in your life? We end up taking on other people's sin load because we're trying to martyr ourselves. We're trying to sacrifice ourselves for the good of someone else. Oh my gosh, how long have I done this? How long have I been a self-imposed martyr? How long have I tried to find my personality through my own self-destruction? How long and how many more do I need to go through before I learn my lesson? Before I learn my lesson. I thought I was already down. Before I learn my lesson. How many more before it's enough? I'm tired of martyring myself. I'm tired of nailing myself to the cross. I nail my own feet to the cross. I nail my own hand to the cross. I just got one free hand swinging. Think I'm gonna take the nail, gonna flip the hammer over and pull those nails out, pull them out of my feet. I'm gonna flip that hammer over and take the nail out of my hands. I'm not martyring myself for someone that don't love my God anymore. You can't kill yourself for people that don't love your God. You can't make yourself poor enough to make somebody else rich. I got to find my people. The patriarchs say, don't find a wife for my son among these heathens. Go home to my family. Find a distant cousin, somebody that belongs to my God. Find them and bring them to my son. So you need to find the sons of your Lord and marry them kind of men. See, and don't abuse them and don't misuse them. In the name of Jesus. I'm tired of self-martyrdom. It's a false imitation of Christ. That's what I've been living in, a false imitation of Christ. See, I wanted to go after Christ so bad. I felt that martyrdom was my life. But I had to realize Christ didn't martyr his life. He gave up his life in the name of Jesus. He gave it up willingly. He said, no man take my life. See, you got to take a martyr's life. Hallelujah. You got to take a martyr's life. Jesus said, I'm not a martyr in the name of Jesus. I'm not martyring myself in the name of Jesus. I'm offering myself as a sin sacrifice, a sacrifice for your sins. I had my interpretation of martyrdom wrong. I repent, Lord, from self-martyrdom. I cancel my subscription to Martyrs R Us. I tear up my membership card and set it on fire to crucify thyself. I'm out the club.